This is Matthew Cruz with the Comstock Report. Recently, there has been talk of shifting the point of obligation for RFS blending compliance from refineries to blenders and merchants. The effort to secure this change has been pushed by several interested parties, most visibly Carl Icahn. The recent attention on the issue arose with rumors of a possible executive order. The White House has since denied that such an order is or ever was in the works. Under the current system, one RIN is generated for each gallon of ethanol produced. Additional RINs are generated with different feedstocks. This RIN travels with that gallon of ethanol until it is blended with gasoline by a refiner. At that point, the required number of RINs, one for every 10 gallons of fuel sold, are turned in to the EPA as proof that they have been blended to the minimum level. If a refinery blends at higher levels, E15 or E13, they generate excess RINs. These excess RINs can then be sold to refineries that are unable or unwilling to meet their blend requirements. The free market determines the price of these excess RINs. As currently designed, this system incentivizes blending, but will become less onerous to those in non-compliance as the industry reaches higher levels of blending. Icahn owns a controlling share in a refinery which is not set up to meet the blend requirements and therefore is required to purchase RINs. Icahn's refinery and others like it spend hundreds of millions a year on RINs to meet RFS compliance. For this reason, he has been one of the chief critics of the RFS and the current RIN obligation structure. That being said, it is important to remember that these additional costs are passed on to the blenders, merchants, and consumers who pay premiums for unblended fuels. Shifting the RIN point of obligation from refineries to blenders would likely have little direct impact on the RFS or the ethanol market. While one could argue, and the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association has, that this would create a period of confusion and uncertainty, any such impact would be minimal and pass shortly. Even with the proposed changes, the RFS will remain in effect, with RINs still acting as the enforcement mechanism. There would only be two real consequences that had any lasting impact. First, making this change would multiply the number of obligated parties several times over, from around 200 to over 1,000. This would necessitate more regulatory and compliance staff, both with the obliged parties and with the EPA, adding millions of dollars to the annual cost of enforcing the RFS. You are listening to the Comstock Report. Second, this change would reward those refiners, such as Icahn, who have steadfastly refused to make the investments to be able to comply with blend requirements. Additionally, it would punish those refiners who have made such investments by taking away a portion of the competitive advantage which their investment has generated. At the end of the day, changing the point of obligation for RINs would not be the death knell to the RFS and ethanol industry as some fear, or in the case of Icahn, hope. Even if this change were to happen, ethanol would likely continue on its path with little to no interruption. With these changes, the losers would be numerous. The vast majority of the 200 current obliged parties who have made investments to meet these obligations, the 1,000 new obliged parties who would now have to make similar investments, and the American taxpayer who will have to spend more to enforce this program. The only winners are a small minority of the 200 currently obliged parties who, like Icahn, made the wrong bet and chose not to invest in their blending capacity. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in rural Iowa, online at comstock.com, or call 712-933-9400.